What's good? What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today I'm going to react to a video, a clip I saw on Flagrant, Andrew Schultz and the gang, where they were talking about the pyramids. And, you know, anything that deals with the pyramids, I'm always interested in. It's probably the most intriguing thing on the planet to me is the pyramids of Egypt. Before we do, let me give you a word from promopalace.biz.
Are you a musician looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, yep. YouTube video promotion, yep. Record pool promotion, yep. Blog placements, yep. Radio airplay promotion, yep. SoundCloud promotion, and yep. much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You heard a beautiful lady in the online marketing promotions. Please go to promopalace.biz. Also, when you go to the homepage, there's a coupon code you can get if you actually share our website to one of your social media accounts and whatnot for 15% off. And you heard the lady, we do all forms of online marketing promotion for your music, product, brand, or your service. Let me get into this Egypt Flagrant. Andrew Schultz. It's actually crazy that Andrew Schultz has this on his podcast, is the Egypt talk. But I like how he goes with the little themes and stuff, dresses up with certain themes when he has certain people on there. Let's get into it.
Break down why the pyramids are so amazing outside of just the visual stimulus that we've all seen in postcards.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reality of them is probably stranger and more interesting than anything people can think up in terms of fiction. It's just they're for the longest time have been not only like the tallest man-made structure, but they've been some of the most precisely man-made structures we've ever accomplished. Like, wasn't until like the 1700s that we even developed enough precision to be able to define just how accurately those things were aligned to things like true north. We're still discovering crazy coincidences about them in terms of, you know, they're encoding these fundamentals of nature. The Great Pyramids, I can talk about it a bit. It's a scale model of the northern hemisphere. It's just
what do you mean by that?
Well, there's
let's break down some of the precision.
Sure. So it's the Great Pyramid. Mostly that's the one that's been studied. We actually haven't done a whole lot of studying on the other pyramids. It's something that's severely lacking. In fact, we've not even cleared off the bases of some of the other pyramids up at Giza. It's crazy. We still to this day haven't done that. But that pyramid itself, the Great Pyramid, the one that we all know and look at, the biggest one, it's aligned to true north within just, you know, a fraction of a degree off. I mean, we just don't build with that type of precision even today. In fact, the only building we made that was that precise was like an observatory in France that was the first one we ever made that even came close to that degree of precision. They made that in the 1800s. That's just one aspect of it, though. It's insane. Apart from it being just the tallest building for forever until the Eiffel Tower was built.
So the traditional historical narrative is that these were built, 4,500 years ago?
Something like that, somewhere around the 2500 BC realm.
So they built this in 2500 BC, and then it takes us until 1800 AD in order to build something
taller.
Yeah. Taller, not even as precise.
Yeah, not.
So think about that. It took us, based on just the 2500 BC and the year 1800. So you're looking at, 4,200 years. It took us 4,200 years to build something taller, a man-made structure. That's crazy. Let's keep it moving.
Nowhere near as precise.
4,000 years later, 4,500 years later, whatever it is.
So you can understand why people start to question the historical narrative.
Well, it falls apart under any rudimentary examination, just the logistics of trying to build that thing alone. So you have to, the way that they, there's very little evidence that actually ties it to the guy they say who built it. It's a guy named Khufu, who's like a pharaoh of the fourth dynasty, Old Kingdom. And he lived, they have to try and tie it to, well, because the whole story is like it's a tomb for him. So, you know, when he came to power, he probably said, we're going to build this thing as my tomb. So they had to get it done inside of his reign.
Right.
So that sort of pins it to like, well, 20 to 25 years.
Okay.
So you can break it down from there. Okay. And say, well, it weighs like 5 million tons. No kidding. And it's like two, and it's made up of around two, somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million blocks of stone weighing, you know, any of it like 2-3 tons, some of the big granite blocks on the inside weigh like 70, 80 tons. It's insane.
But, and these blocks are coming from quarries that are...
Some of them, yeah. The granite came from quarries that are like 1,000 kilometers away to the south. They had to be shipped up. A lot of the limestone, so it's made up of granite in the inside. The outside is two types of limestone. The core masonry is this limestone. A lot of it did come from Giza, not all of it. There's actually nowhere near enough quarrying to make up for all of it. The Cairo area, and then the outside casing stone is something called Tura limestone. It's a very fine white version of limestone that came from a fair distance away. But you can break it down from there. So if you go, well, it's 25 years, 2.5 million blocks of stone, it basically means you, for 25 years, you have to be putting one block of stone in place, finished, shipped, carved, quarried, put in place every 5 minutes, every day for 25 years.
24/7, nonstop.
Now, think about what he just said. I mean, that seems physically impossible. It seems physically impossible without some kind of technology that they had that apparently was lost or probably destroyed. And we've been disconnected now with that technology. That's the thing. The fact that we can't build these things today and we're supposedly in our greatest technological advancements. Like, I remember when rockets would shoot off from NASA and they had to land them in the ocean. Now you got Jeff Bezos and Elon shooting off rockets and landing them back right where they shot off. It's definitely something happened, something missing, some kind of disconnect.
24/7, nonstop. And now that
no union hours.
No union hours. Yeah.
Overtime.
Yeah, no breaks, wow. No whatever it is. I mean, it's crazy. And that is only the pyramid. And you got to remember also, pyramids are part of a complex.
Yeah, you hear that? He said, that's just the pyramid. Like, this seems so impossible when we try to, you know, act like they didn't have some kind of technological advancement, that we're more technologically advanced now than they were then, but we can't make it. Something's not adding up.
There's two other pyramids there, and well, then there's like three little.
There's a bunch, yeah, there's like pyramids. 9 or 10 there originally. But there's just that one pyramid. It's not just when you build these pyramids that they're part of a complex, not the other pyramids, but they have a causeway. They have these, they call everything's a temple or ceremonial, but there's temples. There's years of work just in preparing the ground, the whole foundation of what's around the pyramid. I love going to Egypt and showing people. Everyone stands there and they look up at the pyramids. I'm like, look down at your fucking feet. Look at what you're standing on. There's these massive floor tiles that have been put into the ground. Some of these things weigh up to like 200 tons. And they're fit together like a geometric puzzle and done so precisely you can't stick a razor blade in between the gaps.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it matches.
I didn't pick up on that at all. So you're saying that they dug down and then created a flat surface.
A foundation.
And then tiled the foundation.
Yeah, with these, but some of these, I mean, you're talking tiles this thick, some of them even bigger. In fact, the middle pyramid is even more impressive in that regard. Because it's built into a side of a hill, like it's literally a sloping hill. So they dug down on this side and they raised it up on this side. They made this flat platform for it. And it's just astonishing engineering. So you got to factor in, and of course, these types of...
Sounds like architectural geniuses. But to do it all by hand, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up.
Projects, you don't just make it up as you go along, right? So how long does it take to design it, plan it,
yeah.
Put the plan, that's years. doing the foundation work. That's probably years.
You have to make sure there's enough stone to even achieve it.
Just logistics is this massive problem. I actually would love to do the exercise of working backwards, because we've done some experiments on things like, okay, using really primitive methods, which is what, you know, the mainstream guys say they used, it takes this long to cut stone. And we've done a few little experiments here and there, but you can use that and work backwards, try to estimate how many cuts of stone do we need, how long would that have taken, how long is it going to take to ship the ship?
Oh, that's right. You can see based on, what is it, axe and chisel or whatever it is?
Yeah, chisels. So, this is the
hammer thing. And chisel?
The stupidest thing about it all is you see these wonders of ancient Egypt, the pyramids, these giant granite single-piece statues and columns, and they tell you that it was all made with round balls of stone and flint chisels, just like repeatedly bashing on them. Mm-hmm.
So let's assume
like grinding
it was
on them with sand.
But let's assume it was. You could calculate. No. But even if we were you could calculate how long it would take to take that round stone and the chisel and chip away and create these perfectly, they're not even symmetrical, but like these perfectly shaped, you know, blocks.
You wouldn't even be able to get them perfectly symmetrical, but even, as close as you could.
You could calculate how long it would take.
Yeah.
And have you tried? This is the thing. This is when they get into this, the carvings of faces and thing like that. Like, the idea that you could do this perfectly every single time, it just seems like they had some kind of laser technology that we don't have today. Some kind of laser technology that we don't have today, something that was lost in some catastrophic event or something. I don't know. But it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense.
You could do that math?
No, but it's on my list of things to do. In particular, I'm interested in like the granite as well, because
why? Because the granite's so hard to cut.
Granite's so hard. There's a few things involved in the granite. It's you know, they say, well, they grinded on it with sand, and like they get a copper bar, and we've done these experiments. It's much harder. Like, that's the other thing that people try to compare, like the work of the Romans and a lot of times the Greeks. They all worked in marble. Like, this is a very, very soft stone relative to granite. Like, frankly, granite's a stupid material to try and do this stuff. It's harder than steel. It's like a 6.57 on the Mohs scale. You know, diamonds at a 10, your fingernails at a 2, coppers at 3, bronzes are 4, steel's like a 5 and a, you know, 6.
What is marble, out of curiosity?
Marble's like, I think it's like a 3-ish.
So this is theoretically twice as hard.
Yeah,
as
it's just years a earlier. Super soft. No,
I mean, super hard.
You had mentioned like molecular manipulation.
Yeah, so that's the speculation realm. But it does to me, and this, you can see a bit more of that, I think, you go like South America, because a lot of the real megalithic stuff in places like Peru.
And just so we can define megalithic, megalith is just a giant stone.
Giant stone walls, I call stuff that's megalithic I would define it as like, walls and structures made up of massive single pieces of stone, typically showing signs of precision in how they're built and just perfect alignment. Like, making these sort of mortarless walls is not easy. Like, we don't do that today. Like, that's what, you know, mortar
between
the
So I think this
blocks.
Is one of the cool things that you've exposed and a lot of your contemporaries have exposed is that ancient history isn't studied by architects. Do you know what I mean?
And engineers.
Right? Yeah. Like, so they're applying these ideas and principles to the information that they have, but they don't know what the fucking Mohs scale is. So they're finding some tools and they're seeing some locks and they're going, okay, this is how they probably chopped up the rock.
And in their mind, engineering is limitless. You can do whatever, whereas an engineer would be like, no, you can't.
Well, an engineer shows up and then it looks at the granite and goes, wait, they did what with the granite?
Yeah, it's the engineers that come along, and in a lot of cases, all of the problems that come up with that orthodox story when it comes to engineering topics, that's been raised by engineers. It's a strange thing to me. It's like, you wouldn't ask an archaeologist to design the chair that he's sitting on, right?
Yeah.
But if it's an ancient chair, he's going to claim domain over it and dominion over it and say, I'm the expert, I don't care what you say.
And that makes a lot of sense, what they're saying, is archaeologists find these things and they act like they're the experts on how the pyramids were built, when you're just really the expert on finding these things, you know, and the experts should be like engineers and architects, you know, that would have a lot more common knowledge or common sense theories on how they really built the pyramids, when we can't do it today, right now.
lot of that happens. And that's not to say they haven't tried to make studies into it. And that's part of my work. I dive into these studies and kind of tear them apart because they're ultimately really silly. And when you go to Egypt, you take engineers, construction experts, architects, people look at it and they just see it immediately and go, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this isn't the work of a primitive civilization or a Bronze Age civilization with simple tools. And then, you come back to the pyramid and when you start to realize, like, there's so much more involved in this. There's evidence of this, of the people that build it having, you know, cosmic knowledge, having knowledge of the planet, the dimensionality of the Earth to a crazy degree. Like, so if you take here's an easy statistic. If you take the height of the Great Pyramid, you multiply it by 43,200, you get the polar radius of the Earth.
So what does that mean, polar radius?
So from the center of the Earth to the North Pole, polar radius.
That's crazy. Now, listen to what he says after this.
If you take the perimeter length of the Great Pyramid, you measure around the perimeter of it, and you multiply that by 43,200, you get the equatorial circumference of the Earth, so the length of the
So basically he's saying you take one part of the pyramid and you multiply it by 43,200, and you get the Earth, you know, from one equator to the other length. And then if you take the base and multiply it by the same number, you get the width of the Earth going around. Now, think about that right there. In order for them to know that, they'd have to know the full length of the Earth and the width and then the length from equator to equator and then across. They would have to know the length of that. That means how would they not know that there's a North America land? Like, you mean to tell me they know the whole length and width of Earth, but they don't know there's a North America over there? I mean, wow. That's why they say, you know, I don't even like to say Christopher Columbus rediscovered America or discovered America. I like to say he mainstreamed America. He mainstreamed it, you know. But let's keep it moving, because that's just crazy that they knew that. Long time ago, that probably means that around then, maybe the continents were together, like some maps suggest that the continents were together at some point, and they separated during, I guess, some massive plate shifts, some massive earthquake or plate shift or ice age. I don't know what it could have been, but, you know, it just seems like common sense and common knowledge to me, you know, that they knew the length and width of the whole planet. They would have to, I mean, they would have, like, how would they know that? That's crazy.
Of you know, the equator.
Is this, so it's 43,200.
So 40. This is, this gets into Randall Carlson territory. It's a 4-3-2-7-2, you know, seven. It all relates back to, I guess, the cosmic sort of cycles and all of these the precessional numerology. When you talk about, you know, precession of the equinoxes, are you familiar with this term? So it's the great year. You know, right now we're in the age of Pisces. It's that 26,000 year cycle that's defined by where the sun rises on the solstice, and it's like under what constellation does it rise. So right now we're in the age of Pisces, where we're transitioning into, there's a whole song about this, you know what the next age is?
Aquarius,
the age of Aquarius, right? And in fact, there's references in the Bible about this. It literally, this, and think about it, like Jesus kind of represents the age of Pisces in a lot of ways.
They have the fish on the back
cars,
of the car.
Yeah, they have the Jesus fish on the car. It's always a giggle because it's like, okay, it's Jesus, but you're actually, you're, it's an analogy for the age of Pisces that we live in. And, you know, he was, you know, part of his disciples were a fisherman. He fed people with bread and fish. The age before Jesus, 2,000 years ago, was the age of Aries, the ram.
And that's me. I'm an Aries. That was the age that represents my zodiac. And this thing, I never knew about this thing, this cosmic cycle thing. And this thing is so interesting. It makes me think that I might not need to totally dismiss the Bible as much as I do. It definitely has some significance if we're looking at it in the cosmic cycles way. And it just shows you that all this is just deeper than we know. It's deeper than we think. And we really have no clue. We're so disconnected just because of the fact that we can't rebuild the pyramids. There's some disconnect in history that we've lost.
So think about another biblical figure that existed,
Isaac,
in the old time. Well, yeah, Moses as well, right?
Oh, right.
And he blew the ram's horn, you know? And before that...
I wonder if that was him trying to talk, because he had a speech impediment. So I wonder if, like, they thought it was a ram's horn, but he was just like, hey!
Yeah, maybe. It just sounds like a ram's horn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, but we're going. That's okay. It's Moses. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it goes further too. It's like you go back further and the age before that, another 2,000 years before that, was age of Taurus the bull. So the sun's rising under the constellation of Taurus on that spring solstice. And the story about Moses, do you remember what happened when he came down from Mount Sinai with the commandments from God when he was, you know, what he found his followers doing?
Yeah, worshipping Baal.
Yeah, worshipping the golden calf. And he murdered all those motherfuckers for it, and they smashed the idol up. It's sort of representation of age of Taurus is ending. Now we're in the age of Aries. Now we're in the age of Pisces. And then there's a part in the Bible, I can't, just going from memory, it's they're talking about Passover or the Last Supper, and one of Jesus' disciples asked him, you know, what will we do without you, O Lord? Like, what happens when you're gone? He says, you know, have no fear. Go into town, find a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him to his house, and there you will find sustenance. So, you know, how is Aquarius described or shown? It's like a man bearing a pitcher of water, right? Mm-hmm. They're literally telling, so this is, it's this cosmic knowledge that's encoded in these stories.
Okay.
And it's encoded in monuments like the pyramid. It's not, you know, they even have knowledge of the pyramid. It encodes the specific shape of the earth. By that, I mean the earth being this oblate spheroid, right? We're a little bit fatter around the edge than we are around north-south, right? Because we spin.
Yeah.
So we're not a perfect sphere. That ratio, you'd call it the ratio of latitude to longitude. So if you take that grid of latitude and longitude, you spread it out on the planet, you go down to 1/4 of 1 degree and you measure it. So it's a little bit further sort of east-west than it is north-south. That ratio of latitude to longitude is expressed in the pyramid.
Oh.
Because it sits on something, I'm going to talk about the foundation. It sits on something, sits on the foundation called the socle. So it's like they call it, it's a cubit high. It's about this high, sticks out about this far. So it gives you two ways to measure the perimeter length, right? You can measure the base of the pyramid, or you can measure the base of the socle being slightly larger. And when you ratio or you compare, those two numbers,
it's longitude,
it's
latitude.
Latitude and longitude.
Wow.
And bear in mind that we couldn't figure out how to measure longitude accurately in our own civilization until the turn of the 19th century. I think that's when it was. James Cook's second voyage of discovery. We could not measure longitude to save ourselves.
Which goes to show that there's been some disconnect, you know? And I do believe that there might have been some reset in civilization. And I'm not saying they had rockets and... But they had some technology that we didn't have or we don't have today. You know, they might not have been, you know, they probably didn't have cars and all these things. But there was something that we, when it comes to building big structures and just big man-made things, there was something they had or they knew that is lost today. Some information that has been lost or destroyed, and you know, we haven't been able to rediscover to this day.
We developed chronometers and watches accurate enough to do so.
And you're saying, according to the traditional archaeologists, 4,500 years ago, and you believe probably much longer, they knew.
Yeah.
So if we're accepting
longitudinal, and I do think it was much longer. I think it was much, much longer than we think.
If we're accepting traditional archaeology, there's just all these crazy coincidences, and none of that. They had no idea that if you multiply, it's a longitude and latitude.
At that time, they just were not aware. They were not privy to this information. There's no proof to show that they were.
They say it's a coincidence. All of these things, you keep coming up with them because there's other, you know, there's some people make an argument that the speed of light is encoded in the damn thing. You know, there's all these crazy golden ratios and metrics when you get into like the King's Chamber and the geometry of that. It relates back to the meter. There's so many interesting studies about it, but it's generally all described and hand-waved away as, well, it's just coincidence. And it's like, so you can find this stuff and you analyze anything.
You're approaching this, and like a lot of people in your position are going, these are a lot.
So it's a coincidence that they built pyramids 4,500 years ago or longer, and we can't build them to this day. That's just a coincidence, right? We could build skyscrapers. The Statue of Liberty. I've seen bridges in China where, like, the bridges move and go onto the side of a mountain. We could build all this stuff. We could build rockets and missiles, but we can't build a pyramid. Why is that? Because something's missing, man. Something's missing.
A lot of coincidences. And it might be easier to look at these people who built the pyramids as a different group of people than the dynastic Egyptians that lived, 4,500 years ago.
Exactly what I think. I think what we're looking at, and it goes so much further than the pyramids to me, we're looking at the remnants of a lost civilization and that left stuff. They might have left cultural knowledge. They might have left architecture and objects that were inherited by essentially a Mesolithic people that developed into a Bronze Age culture that we call the dynastic Egyptians. I think we have a good understanding of the dynastic Egyptian civilization. The tools that we found, the way they lived their life, that's the job of the Egyptologist.
So basically what he's saying is he believes there was a more advanced civilization that built the pyramids. And something happened where they died off and they might have left things behind for other cultures or other civilizations that inherit, and they just didn't understand that technology or what they had, which makes a lot of sense because we still got a lot of, there's some civilization, there's like tribes in Africa that still, walk around with no clothes and they still live like, mankind lived thousands and thousands of years ago. Then you had the Mayan civilization. And I don't even know if there's still Mayans around, but their civilization never, wanted to adapt into living in, modern civilizations. There's just a lot of civilizations that try to stay as old and traditional as possible. It's like what the Native Americans were trying to do. America, they're just trying to stay with their traditions, their old traditions and old ways. And there's still some place, Buddhist monks, so it's not far-fetched to think that some kind of advanced civilization died off somehow and some less advanced and less knowledgeable civilization just kind of started inhabiting over Egypt, and they didn't understand, none of the technologies or anything that was left over, how to use it or work or anything. Or maybe the technologies died with them. All I know is you're talking about being ahead of the curve. Egyptians were, that's whoever even built the pyramid. We don't even know if Egyptians built the pyramids just because they're in Egypt, because it could have been called something long before Egypt. It could have been a name before Egypt that we don't even know about. And it could have been it could have been a time that there was no cities and countries. It could have been just, everything was just the planet. It was just the world, there had to be a time where there wasn't countries and borders and division, when it was just everybody was just roaming the planet and it was just the planet. It wasn't on North America, South America, China, and things of that nature, you know.
I think we're right about those guys. I just don't think you can say they made everything. And in fact, they themselves don't say that. Like, their own history goes back 40-something thousand years. Like,
so when do you think they made?
I think pre-cataclysm, a lot of this stuff, and I'm not saying the pyramids as they are, you do have to kind of look through all this stuff with the lens of, I need to preface this, because it's like, there were thousands and thousands of years of renovation, reuse, rebuilding, adaptation, and then thousands of years of deconstruction, quarrying. Like, they've literally been ripping stone off these pyramids for the last couple thousand years and selling it.
Yeah.
Up until about 50, 60 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So it's just that, you know, you have to look at it through that lens, and the Egyptians spent many thousands of years working on this stuff and renovating it, using it for their own purposes. But I think a lot of this stuff goes back to before the cataclysm, like the Younger Dryas period, which we can talk more about. But potentially goes back way further than that. If I'm going to speculate, I mean, hundreds of thousands of years, potentially 50, because this is where it gets interesting, because there's so many other vectors from modern science right now that should be affecting that story of history, right? The last 20 years, we've seen incredible advances in our knowledge base, not just the cataclysm stuff. To me, that's the key that kind of unlocks the whole picture, but even the history of the human race itself, right? We thought for the longest time, I mean, if you're creationist, 6,000 years, okay? But for the longest time, Victorian era, like, well, maybe it's 50,000 years as a species. Then once we start dating human remains, we get to like 190,000 years old. Mm. Like, we found some stuff in Ethiopia. And then recently in the last
couple
of decades,
300, right?
Morocco. They found a modern, anatomically correct, yep, Moroccan.
Now think about that. Now, if we're going off the assumption that dating bones, that the science of dating bones, that we've got this down pat, that we pretty much figured this out. They're saying that they found a human that's remains that are over a quarter of a million years old, 300,000 years old. I believe the pyramids could be as old as that. They could be as old as that, if not older. You know, just the weight of them, like 70 tons. What's going to come and move 70 tons? What tornado or hurricane is going to move 70 tons? It probably would take a force, like a major, like the ocean coming in. I don't even know if an ocean pressure, like a typhoon, could move 70 tons. I don't know, but that just, it's crazy. It's just, I don't think we'll ever know who built the pyramids. Like, I don't think we'll ever know who created us. I don't think we have any realistic idea of who created us. And who built the pyramids. And I would not be surprised if whoever created us also built the pyramids or helped us build the pyramids or gave us the technology or, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, whatever, like, I don't like to use the term God. I'm not naive to not think that something created us. Something, life had to begin from somewhere. It didn't just poof out of nowhere. I don't think it, you know, there had to been some kind of organism or that grew into something or evolved into something or something. Life began from something. I don't believe like life began from nothing, like the Big Bang Theory, or like the Bible says, God created the heavens and earth and all this, and it was basically nothing. You know, I don't really believe into that. So I don't think we'll ever know what created us. I don't think we got the right idea, the right perception. And same thing with the pyramids. Just the simple fact that we can't build them today tells you that there's a lot of information missing, a lot on the table that we don't know. Let me know what you think in the comments once again. Thank you for tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast.